Okay. Simen Shin Mem Aleph. Hilchos Onen. Midoraisa, there's a concept of Onen. And that concept, Midoraisa, has nothing to do with anything mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Midoraisa and Onen is Aser, to eat Kadshim, to bring Karbonos, to eat Kadshim, to eat Maaser Sheni. Those are based on relatively explicit psukim. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether that deoraisa concept of onein lasts only from the day of death until burial, or even after the kfura, because it's just the whole day. That is not practical for us, but when we say to our rabbin, because we don't have kachim, and we don't have the requirements to eat maaser sheni. So this simon is about a drabanan concept, which is never called onein in shas, which is called Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. As the Mechaber starts, Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav. Or the title starts. Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, and we, nowadays, since we don't have the derisive din of Onein, we call this Onein also. No one ever says Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, we call it an Onein. So even though, in Shas, Onein refers to a derisive concept of not eating Kachem Meiser Sheni, and Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav refers to everything in the Simen, nowadays, we call it all a din of onein, and so if you're reading modern day halacha books, you wouldn't say, "Oh, is this fellow a misha meisa mutal lefanav?" You would say, "Is he considered an onein or not?" so, what are the dinim of misha meisa mutal lefanav? So, there are two main topics, the two main questions that are dealt with in much detail in this siman are: A, who has the status of misha meisa mutal lefanav, and who doesn't, and B, what are the dinim of Misha Meso Muto Lefanav? So maybe we will keep track of that on two sides of the board, and then there are other details as well. But let's just put on the board, maybe, I don't know if this is the order I said it, but we'll call A, what are dinim of Onein, which is really Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav in Gemara language. And B, who is considered Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, who or when or what circumstances, and when is someone considered not Meso Mutal Lefanav, even if their relative died. Okay, those are the two main questions, and each of those will have a lot of details in this siman. So let's start. Excuse me. Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, etc. So says the Mechaber. Misha Meso Meshu Chayvlis Avalulav Kodim Kvura. So what's the definition of Meso Mutal Lefanav? Someone who his relative died and before Kvura. Okay. So basic answer is someone who's Meis lo karov shemis abel alav kodem kfura. That is the basic definition of misha meso mutal lefanav. Meso, it has to be his meso, he's related, and mutal lefanav has to be lying in front of him and not yet buried. What are the dinim? Ochel b'vayis acher. He has to eat someplace else. Ein lo b'vayis acher ochel b'vayis chaveru. Bayis here means not a house, but a room. He's not allowed to eat in front of the mace. He has to eat in a... What if he doesn't have anywhere else? Then he goes to his friend's house. What if he doesn't have any friends? He's a desert island, or they're goyim, etc. And there's no one he could eat at. Also, the mechitza. He builds a mechitza and eats on the other side of the mechitza. Va'afil mechitza. Sodim sagim tokashul esad menyush in yitil peruach. And even a mechitza made of a sheet is good enough if you attach the bottom of the sheet so that it doesn't blow in the wind, like we remember from Hilchos Sukkah, to make a proper wall. What about this rare case? He has no place else to eat and can't make a mechitza. Then, in that big shasad chak, there were mekel, he could just turn with his back to the mace and eat. Okay, so he's not allowed to eat in front of the mace. This is a... this actually is very tricky. So what are the dinim of onein? One is Asur lechol bifnei hamis. Why is this a little tricky? Because the Taz points out, and the Shach also assumes, Loeg L'Rush, King Perish Rashi. Rashi says Loeg L'Rush. There's a few things it's usher to do in front of a mace or in a cemetery, because it's ki'ilu making fun of the dead people, and here, dead people clearly can't eat. If you eat, that is sort of pointing out the disability, that this person is dead and can't eat while you eat, Loeg L'Rush. What makes this tricky? What makes this tricky is that if the Isser is Loeg L'Rush, no one's allowed to be Loeg L'Rush. No one's allowed to make fun of a... Loeg L'Rush literally, by the way, means who laughs at a poor person. Rush is a poor person. It's like the rich person laughing at the poor person. That's like the rich guy has a car and the poor guy doesn't, or etc. And here, we use that phrase as a metaphor for the mace. So no one's allowed to be Loeg L'Rush. Like, what does this have to do with the relative? And here we have three different opinions. Says the Taz that, no, it's only Loeg L'Rush. It's not really Loeg L'Rush because you eat and he doesn't. No, okay, that he understands. You know, that's not so, that's not making fun so much of the mace. You're hungry, the mace isn't hungry. It's that since you're supposed to be dealing with the burial, Mutalafana doesn't mean literally lying in front of you physically like it's right there in front of you. Mutalafana also means you're responsible for the burial. Since you're being just eating, which is taking care of your own physical needs, instead of taking care of the needs of the mace, then it's Loeg L'Rush. So he says it's only Loeg L'Rush if you're eating when you should be taking care of the mace. He can't eat, and you're eating when you should be taking care of his needs. That's Loeg L'Rush.
Why does it matter the location of where you are then?
Aha. So, L'Chora, he also admits, I mean, it's clear. so it seems to be only with both factors together. A, you're eating in proximity to him when he can't eat, and B, that even your eating is not innocent because you could have been taking care of him.
And even though other Loeg L'Rush concepts have anything to do with, like, that you should be, like
correct.
Torah in a graveyard.
Right, like wearing tzitzis and tefillin in a cemetery, right, is applicable to everyone. Okay, this is unique Loeg L'Rush. Perhaps the reason that most Loeg L'Rushes are doing mitzvahs that he can't do. And after all, when someone's dead, you know, they say, like, you know, one of these big Musar parts. I mean, secular Musar parts, but good ones. That, you know, when someone's on their deathbed, what are they going to regret? What are they not going to regret? That's how you should live your life. Okay, so here this person's dead, but his neshama's still alive. Ultimately, what does his neshama really miss when he dies? Really misses mitzvahs that he can't do, not fressing, eating a hamburger. So therefore, when it comes to mitzvos in the cemetery in front of the mace, that no one can do. That's really making fun of it. Comes to eating, Lamaisa, the fellow's neshama already left his guf. So does he really care so much about eating and drinking? He realized by now that you don't live to eat, you only eat to live. Okay, so there's a lower level of the rush, which is only for relatives. That's the Taz. However, and therefore he says, someone else is allowed to eat in front of him. However, the Shach says that it's Loeg L'Rush, Shifkat and Gimel, it's usher even on Shabbos when the dinim of owning don't apply. And the Pesach Tshuva in Sifkatan Beis discusses, is this Shach and his Taz arguing or not? So first he quotes from the Maharit. The Maharit says they're not arguing. He has a very strange shita. It's usher for the relative even on Shabbos, even though the relative doesn't have to take care of the mace on Shabbos, but it's mutter for strangers. That's very strange, you have to say. Why is it usher for the relative on Shabbos? And just like a stranger is not chayv to be on top of the mace on Shabbos, you're not chayv to be on top of the mace. But it's usher to be on top of the mace on Shabbos. So there's a very strange shita. The if we just have here, here we have achirim, and here we have krovim b'Shabbos. So says the Maharit al pi Shach v'taz, achirim are mutter. I'll just make a mem for mutter. And krovim on Shabbos are usher. And he seems to think that, well, someone who's in general connected to the mace is Loeg L'Rush, even on Shabbos when he's not supposed to be doing anything. Someone who's disconnected from the mace is not Loeg L'Rush. All the acronym, and he assumes the Shach and the Taz agree. Every other acronym, quote of the Pesach Tshuva on the side of the page, says no, the Shach and the Taz disagree. They have a fundamental chakira. So here, the Shach, lefi all the other achronim, would say they're both usher. He says it's not a din of owning, it's regular Loeg L'Rush. And his svar would be, this is regular Loeg L'Rush, just like wearing tzitzis in a Beis HaTorus. And the Taz, according to the achronim, all the other achronim, assumes that both cases would be mutter. And this is a special Loic LaRush of an owning. Right? So even though the Ma'arit tries to make Sholem King, Shachar, and Taz, all the other Chachamim say no, they're disagreeing in a Kotze L'Kotze. The Taz says the special Loic LaRush only on weekdays and only for relatives. The Shach says this regular Loic LaRush and is not a din of owning at all. And it applies even to strangers and even on Shabbos. Halacha L'Maisa, which the Shitas be Paskin like, the Achronim Paskin like the Shach. Meaning, not like the Shach making Sholem, the Shach disagreeing with the Taz, in which case, there's not really a din of owning at all. It's just a regular din of Loic LaRush. It just happens to be the din of the Siman of Onain coincidentally, but it's not really a din of Onain. It's really a regular din of Loic LaRush. Okay, so that first din turned out, according to Levi Paskin, to be a red herring, and it's not really a din of Onain. Let's continue a little. Avafilu hu be'irach cheres. Even if he's in another city, he's still. So here's the issue. Here's the first controversy. What about Be'ir Acheres? This is the famous Maisa of Rabbi Natan, who was argued on by the Rush. Rabbi Natan's sister died in the next town, and his sister was married, so obviously the husband is going to be the top of the burial. It's one of the chiyum of the ksuba. So Rabbi Natan ate meat and drank wine even while his sister was unburied. He says, this is not Mason Mutu Lefanov. Again, he wouldn't have eaten Kaddish, we're not talking about the rest of the moment. It says, mutalafanav means, again, it doesn't mean in front of you. It means responsibilities on you, like muta, something's on your shoulders. It says, not my responsibility, it says responsibility. The Akronim argue, would it bring Tom only make him because there's someone else taking care of him and he was in a different town? What if he was mamish next door? Would he also make him run out? Okay, the Akronim argue. We'll see that we don't pass that for Tom. So, but when Tom says, no, since there's another car responsible and I'm not responsible, therefore... therefore, he says, I'm not a Onei. The Rush disagreed, and the Rush says, nope, lo plug Rabbanan. This is a general din. Even though someone else is in charge, and you don't really have the responsibility, but since you are a person who would have responsibility, you're one of the Krovim who could have responsibility, what if all of a sudden the husband died, or got arrested by the KGB or something, so you'd be responsible, right? Therefore, it's a lo plug, and he is considered an Onei. The Mechaber here is possible, like the Rush, that it's a low plug. Here we have Rabbeinu Tam. Says not an Onei. And the Rush says he's an Onei. And the Mechaber is clearly passing like the Rush. Here is the Mechaber. The Shach on the side here quotes from the Bach. He says, Avol habach pasak Rabbeinu Tam. The Shach sounds like he endorses the Bach, right? So the Bach and the Shach are pasul like Rabbeinu Tam. Nope. If there's another relative who's going to take care of her, and you don't have to take care of the mace, then you are not considered misha meso muta lefanav. All the later achronim assume like the Mechaber, including the Mishnah Berurah. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah discusses many of these in Yanim in Siman Ayin Aleph. Which is in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, the din that an Onei is Pater from Kriyas Shema, right? So there is a shorter simit about this in Orach Chaim as well. And if you wanted to see this, Pesach in the Shabura, and one of the things he paskin in Sifkatan, I guess, Bays and Gimel there. He paskins like the Mechaber. So this is the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Aleph. And the Poskim assume like the Rush. However, here it gets tricky. Because there's a famous mice that we'll come back to. Machlokas, maybe I'm going to team the Nitziv and his son-in-law, Rabbi Fal Shapiro. What if you're in a faraway city? So far away, what is Rabbeinu Tam? Think about Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam lived before modern communications. So how did he know that his sister died in another city? Must have been the other city was close by. The other city was an hour away. So a shliach came an hour from the other city and told him that his sister died. Right? It was a close by city, and he wasn't responsible, but then Astam, he showed up for the Levaya. Right? He's not going to Levaya his sister. He's not going to plan the Levaya his sister. He's not going to buy the plot. He's not going to pay the Chevra Kadisha. He's not going to arrange things. But it was nearby. He was still Shaya. So what if nowadays you have, in those days they had telegrams, or phones, etc. What if you're so far away that you can't go? Or, I mean, you could theoretically go, but it's not practical. You're not going to go. What if you're very far away? So, the Nitziv says, the same thing applies if you're very far away. The person's an oning until Klura, and then when someone calls them and tells them that the funeral happened, then, whenever they get a telegram, knows that the funeral happened, they become an avel. Says his son-in-law, Rafal Shapiro, no. He says, no, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't apply in this case. The Rush, Rabbeinu Tam, we're arguing that when you're close by. Nowadays, when you're close by, you're an hour walk or a 10-minute horse ride. Nowadays, if you're 6,000 miles away, everyone agrees that's not gold, makes a mutu lafana. There's not even a low plug in that case. You're too far. If you're too far away, we'll see later on. It's like, what if the relative's in jail? There's no low plug if he's in jail. Because he can't take care of the mace. He can't go to the funeral. If you're so far away that you can't go to the funeral, or maybe you could theoretically, but you're not going to get a plane flight, etc. And too far away, then, says the Rav Shapiro, then they'll do the Rush Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone agrees you're not an onay. And as a matter of fact, start avelus right away. This actually happened in an interesting way. Rav Shapiro was the son-in-law of the Nitziv. The Nitziv died. And it was too far away to get there. They got a telegram that the Nitziv died, but they were hundreds of miles away. So, according to the Nitziv, his daughter should have been an onay until the funeral, and then started counting avelus after the funeral. Because he thinks the rush applies to this case in the far away. According to Rafal Shapiro, the husband, according to the mace, she should have been an onay and then an avel tomorrow. According to the husband, she started avelus, not an onay at all, and starts avelus right away. But she's not an onay. So what did she do? So, who do you listen to? Your father or your husband if you're a married woman?
Gotta pass him like the mace.
No, you're
gonna
pass like the mace.
No, you're married to Dushin. Married woman, Paskin's like her husband, not like her father, and therefore she was not an onain and assumed that this was not the same case of Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush. So let's see, this is the halacha, like the Rush, but then the question becomes, what if it is too far to attend? Not like Rabbeinu Tam's case, a new situation only created by modern technology. Right, too far to attend. Then the Nitziv says, Onay, Rav Rafal Shapiro says not an Onay, and we'll see most poskim pass like Rav Rafal Shapiro, so Rav Moshe and others, and therefore we paskin, if someone is very far away, we paskin that they are not an Onay. And yes, we paskin Be'ir Acheres. Be'ir Acheres means the mace died in Brooklyn, and the avel lives in Teaneck. Even though the relative lives in Teaneck, it's still an oni. Even Be'ir Acheres, the mace died in White Plains, and the avel lives in West Hempstead. Still an oni. But if the mace died in Yerushalayim, and the avel lives in Detroit, and then the avel is not an oni, that's too far away, and that was not what was intended by the rush. We possibly were Rafal Shapiro.
Is there a machlokas about what the purpose of onin is, or is just a low plug? Meaning, is there something to onin aside from preparing for the...
Okay, so that's a good point. Let me get to that in a moment.
Where's the line exactly of too far away? Meaning, is it New York? Is it coast to coast? Is it across the sea? Is it whatever we say Derek Rapoka is for the Pesach training?
Okay, that is a good question. that is a great question. For now, let's assume it means not attending the funeral, right? If someone's too far away to attend it, not that they couldn't. They're not attending the funeral. They're not going to the funeral. If they're not going to the funeral because... Not that they're mad at the base. They're not going to the funeral because they're far away, even though you could get a plane ticket anywhere. But if they're too far to attend the funeral in their lifestyle, then that is considered then that's considered too far,
so
and they're not attending.
Subjective.
Yes. 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 If they're not attending the funeral because of distance, then they're not attending. Okay. Maybe we'll come back to some of these things. we'll come back to the Yesod HaDavar in a second. But let us continue. What else do we say? Eino mesa ve'ochel, ve'eino ochel basar, ve'eino shose yayin. They don't eat beheseva, and they don't eat meat and drink wine. Okay, here is a little bit of a tricky. What does it mean not to eat beheseva? I haven't seen people be so machban on this, but if you look at the Shach, he says, perish ala shulchan o ala mita. Right, the Ramah Paskins in Hilchos Pesach, like Rav Yah, by women, that the Ikra did, really eating at a table like a regular civilized person nowadays is called heseva. So an onain really should not eat sitting at the table like a regular person. And should not eat meat and drink wine. So what are the other really servant onain? And this is a real servant onain, nothing to do with the rush, is eino mesev ve'ochel. Just sit and eat without a table, like you're just hopping something, as if you were someone who was terribly distracted and couldn't sit and eat a normal meal because your relative just died. Isser basar v'yayin, right? There's an isser of basar v'yayin as well, and all of these are isser. The most famous then is the next one: the eino mavarch birchas hamotzi. Below Birkas Hamazon, Ve'im Avarchin Olav, Ve'im Azam Olav, doesn't say Bracha Rishona or Achrona, and you don't say a Bracha to be Motzi him, and you don't count him as Zimun. Afilo Ochelchem, Shavarchin Loyanech, Ve'im Amen, doesn't even say Amen. Upatrim Gal Mitzvah, where's Batara? Right, this is the beginning of the third parak of Brachos. Pater from all mitzvos. Okay, Va'afilo, Im Eino Tzarch Lasso, Tzarchai Mason, Shishlachem, Shoshu Mishvilo. Even if he doesn't need to take care of the mace, there are other relatives who are taking care of the mace. It doesn't matter. Even if other people are taking care of the mace, right? Remember, we hold like the rush. If you're in town, even if there are other people taking care of the mace, then he's still an onay, so he's potter mikol ha-mitzvos. Potter mikol ha-mitzvos. Give me a second, Zev. the yesh omrim. Who is this yesh omrim? On the side, it says, it says, Ivaya delo ifshta, but this is a diuk. From Rashi, that Tosfos Daik from Rashi, that Yesh Omrim Shafilum Yirtzel. This is Tosfos Yesh Omrim Shafilum Yirtzel Hachmer Latzvul Avarch Olanus Omen Achmer Avarchim Eino Rashi. Even if he wants to be Machmer to do mitzvos, he is not allowed to. Meaning the he says he doesn't do mitzvos. He potter for mitzvos. Doesn't. What does doesn't mean? Right. So there are two ways to interpret the word doesn't. Doesn't means doesn't have to. Or doesn't mean not allowed to, right? So if I would say, you know, he doesn't eat meat, obviously means he's usher to. But if I would say he doesn't say Shema, you could reasonably say he doesn't have to say Shema, can if he wants, or he's not allowed to say Shema. So is it a Ptur Mikol HaMitzvos or an Isser? Here he quotes, when he quotes here as a Yesh Omrim, the simple shot is, since he's not explicitly quoting anyone who disagrees, he's endorsing this. This is Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Tosos understands from Rashi that as long as someone else is taking care of the mace and your efforts are not necessary right this moment, then you're allowed to do mitzvos. Meaning, if you have a break and everything's taken care of and someone else is dealing with things, you're allowed to do mitzvos. And Tosfos himself says no, based on the Yerushalmi is Ibai, and Tosfos seems to assume that it is usher even if you're not busy right now. So, what is this machlokas based on? So, many Achronim assume that perhaps this is based on Tosos assumes that it's based on a machlokas. Zev pointed out, what is the reason for a lot of these dinim of aninos, and specifically the Ptur Mikol HaMitzvos? So, the Yerushalmi has an Ibaya about this, and the Rashi and Tosos seem to take different sides of this Ibaya. One option is because, there's many different one choice to understand it, just to simplify. One option is because it's like an Osek B'mitzvah Pater B'mitzvah, because he's busy with the mitzvah of Puris Mason, Kavod HaMeis. And therefore, since he's busy with one mitzvah, he's potter from other mitzvahs, like we learned about in Morning Seder all year. The Oseg mitzvah, potter from a mitzvah. Now, the Gemara, the third paragraph of Brachos, doesn't explicitly associate the Shas Sugim Osig Mitzvah Pantim Mitzvah, which appears in the second paragraph of Brachos, with the Din of Mishmeisim Mutalafana, but it could be it's all one thing. He's busy with one mitzvah, and he's not allowed to. Remember, you're not allowed to stop the mitzvah you're in charge of and just optionally do another mitzvah. So therefore, that seems to be the opinion of Rashi. That, yeah, if he has a break, then he can do mitzvos. They pontifed for mitzvos, whether it's the regular din mosik mitzvah, pontifed mitzvah, or general drabanan, that they generalized it. They pontifed him in order to free up his time. Therefore, if his time is not free and he's busy, then of course he can't neglect the mitzvah. That's ridiculous. But if his time is free, someone else is taking a shift, or he took care of everything, and he's just waiting, then he can do mitzvos. That's the opinion of Rashi, that he's meant to do mitzvos if he has free time. So,
here we have Potter Umutter, or Osir, and this is the opinion of Rashi, and this is the opinion of Tosos, and that seems to be based on the way the Rishonim analyzed it, two different ways of understanding. One is that the Yesod is to free his time for Esek Hamis. And therefore, he has to free his time. Okay, but if he can fit in them both, then he can fit in them both. Just like Osek Mitzvah. Remember, if you can manage to do both, then you should do both. Okay, so if you can do both, you should do both. However, Tosos quotes a fascinating Shami the Rav made a very big deal of this, which is the drasha of Kol Yimei Chayecha. Leman discourse, Yom Tzeis Kamei Yerushalayim Kol Yimei Chayecha, which the Yerushalmi understands refer not only to Zechiris Yom Tzrayim, but to Kol Tzor Kula, Yom Mishata Osek B'chayim, V'lo Yom Mishata Osek B'mavetz. When you're in a situation of life, you're chayim in mitzvos. When you're in a situation of death, then you are potter from mitzvos. Right, when facing death, you are potter from mitzvos, meaning that the dealing with death is a stira to mitzvos. The Rav talks about this in his Hashkafic writings. He says, what is an onen? Right? An onen is misha mesa lukulfanim, not the avelos. Avelos is already a kind of reaction. Right? Misha mesa lukulfanim, someone is dealing with death, and death is a stira to mitzvos. Mitzvos are all about life. Our life is mitzvos. I mean, should be, hopefully. right? Mitzvos are about doing the right thing with our life, or about accomplishing things with our life. When facing death, then it's very hard to have spiritual ambition when someone's father just died and is lying there in front of them. And really, I think both of these are kavod ames. They're just two different ways of kavod ames. One way of kavod ames is, kavod ames means you have to physically be osik to kavod ames, and therefore can't be distracted by needing to do mitzvos. If you can fit in the mitzvos, fine, but, you know, the Chazal pondered you so that you'd be free to physically deal with the mace. Okay, but if you can physically deal with the mace and do mitzvahs, fine, Rashi. The other option is no. It's not physical kavanah mace. It's psychological kavanah mace. If someone's really dealing with the mace, if someone's really facing the death, then how can they be worried about doing that? How can they go on their regular business of avodas Hashem? How can they go on their regular life of doing mitzvahs if they're really faced with the opposite of mitzvahs? Right, with death, which is the opposite of avodas Hashem in the world, right, which is really the opposite of a relationship with Hashem in the world, if they really take the death seriously, they can't go on with their life. And not, don't misunderstand the Rav. It's not that he's saying, well, if someone dies, then, like, you don't believe in God anymore, because half of this person have died, so I'm not going to serve him, chas v'shalom. That's not what the Rav meant. The Rav meant that mitzvahs, not mitzvahs like, do I believe in mitzvahs or not, chas v'shalom. No, but mitzvahs like, is the point of my life to, like, grow in avoda and spirituality and accomplish things? Or have I just, like, given up on doing anything with my life? I know, to do something with your life means to do mitzvos, but am I trying to do something with my life now, or have I given up on accomplishing anything in my life? If someone's really facing death, honestly, it's hard for them to really think about accomplishing something with their life. Then they sort of, life becomes pointless, becomes physically pointless, and becomes spiritually pointless. And that is a very difficult halachic concept. The Rav expressed it eloquently in a way that I can't, because I'm not as eloquent as the Rav. But that the Rav is very into this idea of Tosos, that the psychological reaction, and therefore it's not coming on base. If someone is going about their, it's just like if someone were going to work, their father dies and they go into the office, then it's a bizarre to the mace. Okay, our office,
is, you know, our Chai Yishal office is the law firm, you know, or the accountant's office. Our Chai Olam office is mitzvos. If someone were to go about Chacham Le'Gitach mitzvos, amassing mitzvos, and trying to grow spiritually a little bit step by step while their father's lying there dead, then it's not Kavanah Meis to go about your normal life's ambitions and goals and plans, whether they be physical or spiritual, while your father is lying there dead. And that shows you're not really troubled by the Meis. That shows your whole life has not been totally overturned and turned upside down and inside out by the Meis. If your whole life is turned upside down and inside out, then this is not a time to continue your normal pattern of mitzvos. And therefore, it is also to do mitzvos, not just a Torah. Halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. How do we paskin? Now, of course, if you want, you could make it not so philosophical. You could say, no, it's all about having physical free time to do physical needs. It's just the question is whether they need a low plug, don't do any mitzvos just in case, or whether they just said, well, don't do any mitzvos, but if you have time, you can. But the Rav Nisod is more philosophical, that the Rashi stance of being putter umutter is just to free you up physically, and the Tosfos stance of usher is because philosophically, you can't be claiming to really appreciate the death of a loved one in front of you, and really be osik in the loved one psychologically, and to be osik in your regular mitzvos routine psychologically at the same time. Those two things don't go together. Halacha l'maisa, we pass in basically all the achronim paskin like Tosfos, and that's the Sabir Yesh Omrim, that even if you have some free time, you're not physically doing anything, someone else is physically taking care of the mitzvos, you're just sitting and resting, catching your breath, you still don't do mitzvos, and that's halacha l'maisa, that even when the owning is not physically osek this moment, still, as long as the mitzvos are mutal lefanav, as long as he's supposed to be dealing with this mace, as long as the mace is his responsibility, he has to feel that more strongly, and he is potter. Again, you can take it non-philosophically, they just made a little plug to potter him, just in case, or you can take it philosophically, based on the shot of the drush of Yushalmi, that it's kol yimei chayach, we do mitzvos, times of nacha, of the opposite of chayim, then, since mitzvos are life, when there's your whole life is called into question, when the idea of life is called into question, then it's, one is supposed to give up on life temporarily. And giving up on life, since life is mitzvos, means to not do mitzvos.
Was about eating, the bracha rishona, isn't that unique from other ones? That's not like a normal osik mes parah minis, but like you're doing something which might be an iser.
Right, so this is a big discussion in the Lundus. There are achronim who tie this into the whole lumpish question. Didn't we discuss this in Morning Seder?
Yeah.
Okay, so I am Morning Seder. Clearly this works better if you hold it's not a real listener. Right, clearly this works better if it's not a real listener. Okay, but I am... the longest discussion I've seen of this is in Rabbi Sacher Franz Sefer Ahalei Yisachar. It's always good to mention Talmidei Chacham who write popular books, that they also write unpopular books. So you should know to be mechaber them.
Was the Rav noted to paskin like the Netziv, or even he would say that Tosfos is
It doesn't matter, because it's clear that, forget about the Netziv, it's clear that, let's say, the relative's in jail, that he's not Mishamesim with the Lefanav. So the Rav would then have to do a little bit of fancy footwork and say, yeah, it's about the psychological dread and terror, but that only applies if you really have to be a couple with the mace. So he's going to have to walk that tightrope.
If you're being metaphor, it's more...
Right, exactly. And it's not so crazy, because there's a difference between a yediya and a, something that you're... Oh, everyone knows the difference between being osik and something and just intellectually knowing it. Okay. Let us continue a little. V'shabbos v'yantif ochel basar v'shos yayin. On Shabbos and Yantif, then he's allowed to eat meat, he's allowed to drink wine. And Yirtzeh says the Ramah if he wants, and all the Achronim explain. Look in the shop, and the Pesach Tshuva. This means on Shabbos if he wants, because it's not a chiyuv gomer to have wine and meat on Shabbos, but on Yantif Taka, it's not a Yirtzeh. He should have meat and wine, because that's really a mitzvah. Okay, on Shabbos and Yantif, he does all the mitzvahs except for Tash B'Shamita, because Tash B'Shamita is still usher. We'll see what framework that fits in, but perhaps this fits into the framework of some Rishonim say, it's really more of a kalos rosh to Tash B'Shamita, therefore, even in Shabbos and Yantif, it's not Muta L'Fanav Mamish, halos rosh is still inappropriate, and therefore tashma shamita is aser. He's allowed to go to shul on Shabbos. He's chayav in mitzvos. Technically, even, I mean, this is sort of funny. It's just like apologize. It's like making sure you don't make a silly mistake in the words. Technically, even on chol, he's allowed to go to shul. He's just not allowed to do anything there, so there's no point. And here we do get an interesting deal in the postgame. Like, why is he telling us here? Like, he's allowed to go to shul on Shabbos, we understand. I mean, he can daven b'tzibur and be part of the normal tzibur and davening on Shabbos. Why does he have to tell us, even a chol, he's allowed to go to shul as long as he doesn't daven? As long as he doesn't do anything there. Like, obviously, you're allowed to go to anywhere. You're not in jail. So here, some of the achronim are medayik, if you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, in Yudalid, he says, that what this implies is that he doesn't count for a minyan. That's the chiddush. You might have thought that during Chol he can't daven, he can count for the minyan. Kamashlan, you don't count it towards the minyan. So maybe there is a bit of a chiddush here. Even a Chol can go to shul, but he doesn't count for a minyan. Not only can't he daven, he doesn't even count for the minyan. Because he's part of a mitzvah, so he doesn't count for the minyan. Okay, so that's interesting. It could happen. Let's say there's only 10 men in town, then they'd be in trouble now because he doesn't count for the minyan. Perhaps not. Perhaps not. I mean, you could have made one the Simchalik, but we don't get into it now. But not fundamentally, yes.
Does that imply that the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with that? Or?
No, he just didn't get into this detail. Often the Ramah just adds details, which the Beis Yosef explicitly endorses. He just didn't, not every detail the Beis Yosef endorses did he repeat in the Shulchan Aruch. And this is clearly a detail. Shabbos and Yontif is not a hafkad gemura from Aninus. What's the reason? We see from here, what's the reason there's no Aninus and Shabbos and Yontif? We'll modify this a little, perhaps. The reason there's no Aninus and Shabbos and Yontif is because, not because Shabbos and Yontif overrides Aninus. No, it's because it's not mutal lefanav, because there's no burial or tipul in the Mace and Shabbos and Yontif. Mace is muktzah, you're not allowed to do a bury, etc. But there is one heter. What's the heter? Right, remember, the Mishnah in Shabbos says you're mechashra latchum to prepare for a funeral, even to bring the chalilin and the tachrichin, etc. Mashra latchum means if he has to go someplace, let's say he has to, I don't know, go like buy something on Matzi Shabbos. So he knows Shabbos ends at 8:18, it's a 20-minute walk, so he starts walk, or it's an hour walk. He starts walking at 7:18 to get there in time from the top of the mace. Since now there's the only hikitimtza of isuk b'meis on Shabbos and Yontif, called machshich na'latchom, to have to walk together by the end of Shabbos. Now it's mutal lefanav because now he has to be osik in the mace, and therefore he starts being an onein towards the end of Shabbos. So second issue is how about Shabbos and Yontif? So Shabbos v'Yontif, there's no aninos, but with the exception that Mechashech al hatchom is an onin. And let's see if there's another exception. Yimrotzel kover b'yomtov rishon al yideh amin aser bekulon. The Gemara gave a hector, we don't do this nowadays, that on Yontif as opposed to Shabbos, you're allowed to bury al yideh goy. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to even do a mir la'akum to bury a mace. But on Yontif, you can bury a mace through a, you can tell goyim to bury the mace. And therefore, but that's optional. If you want to, why is it optional? Because it's not such a covenant mace for goyim to bury. It's a covenant mace for Jews to bury. But it depends on the circumstances. If the mace is going to be spoiled, etc., then it's worth it. So if it's worth it to bury on day goyim, then for you, yontif is a regular day, and there's there is aninus. So yontif virotze likbor al yedei goyim. Then he's an onay, which makes sense, because not that Yom Tov is about Ki Aninus, it's just when you're not a tackle, but here you are a tackle, you have to tell the guy what to do. And what about the case of the Kosh can be Yom Tov Sheni, Shuba Atma Yochel Kavro, Shechol Lov Kuvlini Aninus, for sure on Yom Tov Sheni. When the Gemara says Yom Tov Sheni, even Jews can be Machal Yom Tov Sheni for the sake of a Kfuras Mace. It's a halacha that Kfuras Mace is Dovi Yom Tov Sheni, because Yom Tov Sheni is Rabbanan. They made an exception for Kfuras Mace. So on Yontif Sheni, for when they could bury themselves, then Pashut that Aninus applies. So Yontif Sheni Aninus applies because a Jew is allowed to do the burial on Yom Tov Sheni here, and there are some communities nowadays where they're knowing this. Maybe 15, 20 years ago or something, there was a big article in the New York Times, they were all behelim, all the guys were behelim about this because they didn't know the Gemaras, that the Satmars made a big funeral on Yom Tov Sheni, and there's procession through the streets of Williamsburg to the Beis HaKoros on Yom Tov Sheni, and there are a few communities nowadays where they bury in Yom Tov Sheni. Here we get all these details, which I'm not going to have proper time to get into, which are, is there any difference between Yom Tov Sheni and a regular day? So here, there's a few cases of machlokas. One is, because Yom Tov, it's like a heter to bury. But it's not that really, we don't really say that Yom Tov is a Yom Kfura. Yom Tov is not like a day when you're all the time supposed to be kober. There's like a specific heter. So what do we say? When that heter applies, then the person's an oni. What about when the heter doesn't apply? It's not. So here we get into the big machlokas. One of the discussions, which I think is probably in the Pesach Tshuva, it's not in the Nosekalim right here. I think it's in the Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah there, discusses. He says right here, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yom Tov, what if you can't bury on Yom Tov? Because there's some law that you can't bury, the goyim have a holiday or something, you can't bury on Yom Tov, the union doesn't let you bury on Yom Tov in New York, the unions decide who can bury when. Or, he says, what if the Chevra Kadisha is not available on Yom Tov? After all, in order to bury, you need permission of the Chevra Kadisha to sell you a burial plot. And the Chevra Kadisha is in shul. They have a long davening in Yom Tov with Hallel, they sing a little, and they don't finish shul till 12. So he says you're not an oni until 12. Unlike a Yom Chol. Yom Chol, fundamentally, you're always supposed to be osei. If there's a little roadblock, you're still an oni. On Yom Tov, we assume, no, only when the heter applies. But fundamentally, Yom Tov is not a day mutal lefanav. So here we say, yes, Yom Tov Sheni is an onein, but only b'shas kvura. I don't mean b'shas kvura. No. The moment of kvura. Only at times of Isuk. And what does that mean? Says the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah, when the Chevra Kadisha's not in session, then not an Onei. So, right?
Is that essentially Rashi?
No, it's saying even according to Tosos, this is not considered Mutal Lefanav. This is not a time of dealing with the mace. Because it's Yom Tov, which is fundamentally an Isur Mawacha, and you can't say Chazal's Heter applies if it's not the time. Either when if the Chevra Kadisha is not yet open, or, what's the big machlokas achronim here, without getting told to rise back and forth, what's the big machlokas achronim here? What about Yom Tov Sheni at?
Night.
At night. Right, here is where the Taz, without getting into exactly what the Ma'arash held, what the Ma'arash didn't hold, the Taz interprets that the Ma'arash permitted making Kiddush at night. And the Taz says, we don't hold like him. He has a different Shita, and we don't hold like that Shita. So the Taz says that there is aninus even at night, but the Shach says no. At night there's no aninus. Why? Because because it's not a time of Fur and Isa Pemes, and therefore since Yom Tov is fundamentally time of Isra Malacha, they were matir. That heter is only significant in a time when it's practical, and therefore for at night, because we paskin like the Shach, not like the Taz. We all the later opponent paskin like the Shach. So therefore, yes, we say Yom Tov Sheni, and the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, even if doesn't want to bury, still Yom Tov Sheni is a day of burial, but limited. When is Yom Tov Sheni a day of burial? Only in the time of burial, like when the Chevra Kadisha is open. And even if he decides not to bury, he's waiting a day. Doesn't matter. It's a time of burial during the day when the Chevra Kadisha is open. But at night, when the Chevra Kadisha is closed, then there's no aninus in Yom Tov Sheni. What about nowadays? So nowadays, the minhag in almost the entire world is like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Igros Moshe, He says that nowadays that they invented refrigeration and we're not worried, two things. A, they invented refrigeration and we're not worried the base is going to spoil. So it's not such an emergency to bury. Even if you have to wait the 2-3 days, nothing bad is going to happen. It's not like the old days where the mace would spoil and would be recycled. And B, says Moshe Feinstein, now in the old days, maybe in some places everyone was from. Or if they weren't from, they at least knew that funerals you're supposed to be religious about. Or they all lived in, in small villages. Nowadays, if you have a funeral in Yom Tov Sheni, everyone has non-firm relatives and friends, and the non-firm relatives and friends are going to drive, and it'll be a chil Yom Tov Sheni. You're not allowed to attending a funeral is not to be Yom Tov Sheni. Only burying the mace, and whoever can walk to the funeral. He says everyone's going to drive to the funeral. In America, in Israel, people are going to drive to the funeral, and it's going to be chil Yom Tov, and there's no emergency. Nowadays, the minhag in almost all communities is that it's usher, says Rav Moshe, usher to bury Yom Tov Sheni. It's no longer optional, it's usher. And therefore, for us nowadays, this is not discussed here because it's before Rav Moshe Feinstein. But, plus, and therefore, Libby Dunn, Ein Aninos, Be Yantav Sheni, I mean, Yantav Sheni is mostly only in America. Therefore, since we hold like Rav Moshe Feinstein, we hold it's not a decision. It's an issur to bury Yom Tov Sheni nowadays. And therefore, it's an issur to bury Yom Tov Sheni. It's always not a time where Chai have to do any food. The Chevra Kedisha is always closed. It's an issur, even though it's not an issur to rice and Rabbanan. It's only issur al pi minhag and hanhagas haposkim. Nonetheless, nowadays we would assume that in our communities there's no anidus in Yom Tov Sheni because there's an issur to bury, and therefore it's not meso muto lefonim. And for us, Yom Tov Sheni is like Yom Tov Rishon. It doesn't say that anywhere in this page. It doesn't say that in Mishnah Berurah they used to bury Yom Tov Sheni. Mishnah Berurah says, if you can bury Yom Tov Sheni, decide not to, you're still an Onei. The whole point of an Onei is for you to bury as soon as you can. If you decide to delay it, then you should be extra Onei to make sure you're Mizdaris. But that was before. Nowadays, no one buries it. In Yom Tov Sheni, I'm pretty sure in Eretz Yisrael also. The minhag is that they don't allow burials on Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah, which is the only time it would come up. Pretty sure no Chevra Kadisha will let you bury Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah. I don't know, I haven't checked with all of them, but I never heard of it. And in America, in the non-Hasidic communities, no one will, maybe one shul is an exception, but no one will bury Yom Tov Sheni, and they won't let you bury Yom Tov Sheni. The rabbi will say it's usher, the Chevra Kadisha will say it's usher. They'll say it's the cemetery is closed. And therefore, for us, we would have aninos, we would not have aninos on Yom Tov Sheni, bottom line.
Before we got the Pesach Rosh, we were talking about when Aninus would in theory apply Yom Tov Sheni. Is that true for Yom Tov Rishon also?
Yom Tov Rishon is optional, only if you want to.
And I'm saying if you would, then the Aninus would only apply at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Now the Ramah ends here, he says, Yesh Omer and Tamana Ramah Mubak also lechol basu yayin kol zman shemuta lif nehem. Right, that this is not talking a full aninus and a p'tur for mitzvos. No one thinks there's a p'tur for mitzvos, but it means out of kavod for Rabbi Muvak, someone's Rabbi Muvak dies, then they should not eat out of kavod for Rabbi Muvak, not have drinking wine. We know there's a partial nihug avelos for Rabbi Muvak, so out of kavod, they should not have eat meat and drink wine until the burial of Rabbi Muvak. Okay, not everyone exactly has a Rabbi Muvak nowadays. Someone really has a Rabbi Muvak nowadays. Then, like they were to your Creon, then they should not have meat and wine until the burial.
Sorry, just to clarify, the minhag of not burying on Yom Tov, does that also apply nowadays to Yom Tov Rishon? That the minhag is not the
burial? Yes. Okay. Yes. The minhag is also not the burying on Yom Tov Rishon nowadays, for the same reasons. Okay. So we don't bury it all on Yom Tov nowadays. That's the Pesach Rav Moshe, the minhag of 99% of Kehilos, just. And we understand why we think different than Chazal. Mostly because we have refrigeration and they didn't.
If there was an Inus Amunta for all of this, would there be an Isra Malacha or they could do...
No, they can't do Malacha Chavshi. They can only do Malacha for the mace. And only for the physical needs of the mace. I mean, it gets tricky. There are says for the physical needs of the mace they could. Like, even to, like, build the right a fancy coffin and to sew fancy shrouds, etc. But they couldn't do malacha to, like, inform people or to drive to the funeral. I mean, they could do malacha to drive a hearse to the funeral, but they can't do a malacha. You can't do malacha just to come show your respect. So, like, they can drive one car to the funeral if the cemetery is far away, the hearse. But they can't drive other cars for all the other people want to go. Okay, but nowadays that's not relevant. Okay, now, there's a lot of details about some of these things which we should probably fill in before we go to Sif Beis. So let's try to remember some of these details. In 1 second. Shachs and Taz we covered, but then in the Pesachei Tshuva and the other Achronim have a lot of details. So number one, big discussion in the first Pesachei Tshuva, which is not one of these two big questions, is what about a baby lo'aleinu less than 30 days old who dies? What's the rule? The rule is that any baby that survives, the rule is this. If a baby is born viable, meaning it could live forever, then it's a person. If a baby is born unviable, like something a preemie born just can't live, you know, or then that baby is considered never born and not a person. It's considered a miscarriage. That's the rule. How do we know if a baby was born, if that baby is viable or not? I mean, everyone's going to die eventually. 120 years later, he's going to die, right? So the answer is, Kol Shashav Lamed Yom Ba'adam Eino Nefel. Any baby that lives 30 days is not a Nefel, is considered, we'll get to some details later, not now, we're not getting into the details, what if he lives in an incubator 30 days, we're not going to get to that yet. He lives 30 days, is considered Becheskes viable, and then if he dies, he just died, coincidentally, because people could die at any age, and it so happens that he got sick and died. So if a baby lives 31 days and dies, he's considered a real person. He was really born and tragically died soon afterwards. What if a baby lived 29 days and died, lo aleinu? Then it's a suffix nefel. We don't know whether he was really a born person, and then would be a full person for all halachos, or whether he was unviable. He went on some frame, maybe that he was unviable. We don't know. It could be that he was viable and happened to get a bad virus, or bacteria, or an accident. Or it could be that he was unviable. We don't know. So in suffix, what do we say? In avelus, where he's mekel in suffix, there's no avelus for a baby under 30 days old. Because maybe he was never a real person. And therefore, he couldn't have died. He was just miscarried.
Why is it a suffix?
And never lived. Because you don't know whether he was died because he was born not viable, or he was born very healthy and died coincidentally because he all of a sudden got a bad bacteria.
Interesting.
Right? You don't know, maybe he was born super healthy, and then at the age of 20 days got some terrible bacteria, and unfortunately that killed him. But he was really born, so you don't know. What about animus? In this case, what's called suffix nefil. Baby lo aleinu doesn't live 30 days. What about animus? So the first Pesachei Tshuva, and Rabbi Eger discussed this, and quote from the Birkei Yosef, the first Lamosha, that animus is a little more chomer, and there should be an iser basar v'yayin. They're not sure exactly what to do. About mitzvos, but they think there should at least be an iser of basar v'yayin in the Yesher HaChayim, when he discusses the halachos of aninus, he says, sorry, give me half a second, that misafik there is we paskin there is no aninos. He paskins against these achronim in the Pesachei Tshuva, rather like the Rabbi Kiva Eger says. He says meislo ben tochlam and mashu yirshami de ein lo din onein dvar Moshe. Then he says ayin and other people. So it's a machlokes. The Gesher HaChayim is Machriya. There's no aninus, and our minig is that there's no aninus for a baby under 30 days old, even though the Achiv Kvura v'Nefel, but we'll see, that's not because of Kavanah Meis, the Achiv Kvura v'Nefel, and therefore, Misafik, just like there's no Avelos, there's Lo Aleinu, no aninus. Okay, that unfortunately is a situation that could really come up.
Do we ever use medical background?
It's a good question. The minig seems to be not to. Like, maybe you could just tell if he's viable or not by the ultrasounds, by the tests, etc. It's a good question, but the minhag seems to be not to. Even though, whatever, maybe we'll come back to it when we get to Hilchos Avelos. Okay, some other details. I'm just going to run through Pesachei Tshuva, some details. Pesachei Tshuva Aleph is about this case. Pesachei Tshuva Beis is what we discussed about that Shachan Taz. Pesachei Tshuva Gimel. And someplace here. Okay, I have to find that. Okay, at least Gimel is about the Isser Basar V'Yayin. What about meat dishes, soup, etc.? And here he quoting the son of the Note of Yehuda who added something, who said we're more makel than Tisha B'Av, and he's mutter in like a tavshel of Basar as long as he doesn't eat the Basar itself. There's also discussion later on. What about like Shabbos leftovers? There are those who are makel in the 9 days, but we're not makel in 9 days and not makel here. Okay, so in terms of basar v'yayin, we're makel in meat dishes as long as he doesn't eat the actual meat. Then the big discussions come up when it comes to the Pter Mikol HaMitzvos. So what are some details of Pter Mitzvos? So one of the issues that come up is he's usher in lavim. He can't eat treif. He's only pater mitzvah say. And then there are a few borderline cases of what's the din? He's pater mi mitzvos asay, and he's usher lekaimon, but he's chayav the chol lavim. He's not allowed to do aveiros. So then there are some borderline cases. So what about netilas yadayim? Is it a mitzvah to netilas yadayim? It, basically, all lumdos of mitzvah versus iser, as Chesky pointed out, can come up here. Is he feels that I'm an iser to eat with unwashed hands or a mitzvah? So I'll just write this is all the machlokas, all the lumdos. Halacha l'maisa, netilas shadayim, we paskin yitol b'li bracha. Okay, because we assume there's an iser to eat with unwashed hands, not just a mitzvah. You shouldn't say the bracha, that's just a mitzvah to say the bracha. But an iser to eat with unwashed hands. Another interesting question is, what about Bedikas Chametz and Bal Yerubal Yimotze? Right, that's discussed in Vav and in Zion. What about Bedikas Chametz Bal Yerubal Yimotze? That is a big machlokas. What about Bedikas Chametz and Tashbisu, right? Tashbisu and Vayirah Vayimatze, right? Do you look at those as Yisurim or Mitzvos? Is B'dikas Chametz an Isser to have an unsearched house or a Mitzvah to do B'dikas? Tashbisu, an Isser to have Chametz or a Mitzvah? Vayirah Vayimatze is definitely an Isser. But what if it's an Isser that requires you to do something? Do we consider that like a Mitzvah or not? So this is a big machlokas, lemaisa, we'll just summarize, and there's great lumdus here. Basically, lumdus of everything in the Torah comes up here. This siman is the best for lumdus of kol tarkula. Number one, for what's a mitzvah, and what's an avera, and number two, for tashlumen. We'll get to the second. B'dikas chametz tashbisu v'yirah v'yimatze, what do we say? We say that acher yivdok b'shvilo, someone else should do b'dikas chametz for him. Someone else should do b'dikas chametz for him, and the best thing is if he's maknas chametz to the other person, that way they can for sure make a bracha because now they're chayav for sure. And that's halacha l'maisa what we do. How about sfiras ha'omer? Okay, this is not exactly the same kind of question, but what's wrong with sfiras ha'omer? He clearly doesn't count sfiras ha'omer as a mitzvah, but then he's going to miss. He's not going to be able to count tomorrow either with a bracha. So we have this kula in the name of the Note of Yehuda, and this is also big lumpus in sfiras ha'omer. Sfiras ha'omer, yisbar, b'li bracha. Not to do the mitzvah, chas v'shalom. He's not allowed to do mitzvos, but to keep the count going. Apparently, the assumption here is that even though he can't do the mitzvah, sfiras ha'omer, he can count without a bracha in order to be able to say bracha the next day, which is either a hachra based on sfeikos, meaning, he might not be usher, so he shouldn't make a bracha, because maybe his usher is bracha batala, but since maybe it's much like Rashi, he can at least say sfiras ha'omer to save the next day. Or, al pi the rav, you know, the Rav has a Vart in Sfiras HaOmer. He says, it's not that you can only, if you miss a day, you can't say a bracha anymore because it's all one big mitzvah. No. You don't have to do the mitzvah in order to say bracha tomorrow. You just need to keep up your count. It's only called counting if you've been counting the whole time, right? If I say 8, 9, 10, I haven't counted. If I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, even if I didn't do a mitzvah by 7, let's say I was a katan or whatever the case, then I'm still counting. And that's how the Rav explains a lot of things we're not going into it. That lumbus worked well with this psak of the Nodi Behuda. He says, no, he can't count for the mitzvah, but he can count just to keep up the count. And that is not a violation of Avelos, because he's not counting for a mitzvah, he's just keeping up the count. I know that that is Hedy's thing about mitzvahs, but apparently we still let him get away with this. Let's just do some other issues that come up.
Should he have in mind not to be Yotze the mitzvah?
It's a great question. Lamaisa, since it doesn't say that explicitly, I don't think he has to have in mind. But maybe he shouldn't have in mind to be Yotze the mitzvah. Some other issues that come up is, what about if he's in the middle of davening? So here's an interesting question. Do we say, especially if you look at his Osik Mitzvah, what do you mean? He's in the middle of the other one. So what if he's in the middle of davening? So here we have an interesting vart. The Shos Yaakov says in Sivkat and Vav that if he's in the middle of davening, that if he's in the middle of davening, then he should not interrupt. Then Chazal assumes that Chanukah Chazal is only not to start new mitzvahs. Not to stop in the middle, because after all, it's the Tavs Chazal. So, Be'emtza Tfila Yigmor. What about not Be'emtza Tfila, but he's about to start davening? Oh, he's about to start davening. What's the issue? The issue is, we'll see by Avelos also. Aninas and Avelos do not apply when someone's relative dies. They only apply when the person knows their relative dies. Right. The Baruch Chan has a whole lumdus about this in the Kobetz Aros. Unlike everything else in the Torah, or almost, it applies when the mitzvah is present. When the fact happened, the mitzvah applies. If you know it or you don't know it, the mitzvah applies, right? Let's say all of a sudden it's Sukkos and someone doesn't know it. The mitzvah of Sukkos applies. If they don't know it's Sukkos because they're in jail in Siberia and it's not their fault, they're potters of onus. Hashem doesn't get mad at them. But the mitzvah still applies whether they know it or they don't know it. That's clear, right? Mitzvahs apply whether you know it or don't know it. You might have an excuse, but the mitzvah applies. Avelos is different. Avelos only applies when someone knows. And Aninus makes him mutal lefanim. You can't call him mutal lefanim if he doesn't know. Only applies when he knows. So the question is, should you tell him or not? So, that's the discussion of the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan. Which one is this? Ches, from the Chamudi Daniel. He says that it depends. If the guy mamish has work to do now, then you should tell him and he shouldn't daven. But if there's nothing to do now anyway, he has plenty of time, there's no rush, then you should let him daven for an hour and then tell him because he's not mason with lefanav, so he's allowed to daven as long as not mason with lefanav. So lifnei tefila,
based on Rashi, we're saying.
Yeah, basically, if he needs to do something, then he has to go to the top of the mace. If not, then just don't put him in the situation in the first place. Right? Lo yagid lo ela imkein tzarech letapel b'mace. Okay. Then we have some very fascinating... another fascinating discussion is the question of Kaddish. Right, the question of Kaddish. That's discussed in one case in Piskei Tshuva Sifkat and Tes, and one case in Yudalit. First fascinating question is, what about if they have a yard site, someone's sister dies and he's yard site for his mother or father? Can you say Kaddish on his parents' yard site if he's an Onei? Meaning, does the Kavanah Mace of his parent, Doka, the Kavanah Mace, Mace, and Mutul Fanav? It's a fascinating question. Kavanah Mace versus Kavanah Mace. So, and what if one is a bigger Kavanah Mace than the other? So, here is a big Machlokes Achronim. The Piskei Tshuva disagrees with a lot of Achronim, but he quotes the Arba Tori Evin, and aside, the Gilui Marsha quotes the same thing, Vodas HaGershuni, that Kavanah Mace of a parent is Doka, the Kavanah Mace of another relative, and therefore he should say Kaddish even if on a yard site, because it's a big Indian to say Kaddish on a yard site, even if he's an onen, even though other mitzvahs are not doche, kavanah meis mitzvahs are.
Would this apply also to Kaddish within the first 12 months?
It's a great question, because here he says yortzeit. He doesn't say within the first 11 months. That is a great question. Maybe we will have to leave that for Tzarech Iyun for now, because it could be that it's more chashav on the yard side, although that's actually big machlokas than Hilchas Kaddish. Maybe we'll leave that bit Tzarech Iyun for now, because he only mentions, the Achronim only mention yard side. Why the Achronim only mention yard side? The Gilyan Marsha also says that Onen Sheishel Yortzeit Biyom Chol. He only says Yortzeit. Maybe the Yortzeit is more of a covet. Okay.
My question is probably much more common.
Yes, Minastan. Okay, let's. Now, the fascinating question is the Pesach Tshuva, this is a big machlok, because Adi Yom HaZeh, different than Hagen. Pesach Tshuva Yud Dalet. Let's say it's Shabbos, when there's no Aninos. So he goes to Shul and he dies. Does he say Kaddish for the relative that's not yet buried? Clearly, he'd say Kaddish for someone else. Does he say Kaddish for the relative that is not yet buried? So here we have, you know, Kaddish, the yard site. So they are Mako. Here's a question, not doing the tour, but let's say there's no Aninos on Shabbos. If there's no Aninos on Shabbos, do you say Kaddish for this mace? It's not a question whether it's Osir. It's about not Osir. The question is there a point? Because why do we say Kaddish? Why do you say Kaddish? To save or in the first year, to save the Neshama from Gehenna. Ah, but the neshama doesn't go to Gehenna before Kfura. Neshama, until Kfura, where's the neshama? And whenever. You know Torah's Adam. He's floating over the body. Right. There's no Gehenna until Kfura. So therefore, maybe there's no point in saying Kaddish. So this is the big machlokas achronim in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkat and Yudalid, where he quotes from the Shach a little later, Natu, and the Gilyan Marsha explains. While the Taz and the Maharit and the Sharfaim and many others say to say it, and it seems to be totally in the Minhag HaMakom, this is totally in the Minhag HaMakom. There are different Minhagim. Whoever says the Gesher HaChayim, the Minhag of Yerushalayim, which generally becomes Minhag Eretz Yisrael in most things nowadays, is to say Kaddish even before Kfura. Even if they're not in Gehenna yet, it still helps to have those Chosav Kaddish. I mean, if there's no Gehenna, and the Shema's in Gehenna, it's just they don't burn. Well, Savaro Ish. Okay, all right, this is too dark. Anyway, Machlokas, Toloi, the Minhag, and the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is the Sei Kaddish. Okay, this is something that comes up a lot. Anytime someone dies Friday, right? Then the Avelim go to Shul and Shabbos, they're not only to do the full down, and they ask, should I say Kaddish for my, not if they're saying Kaddish for someone else, then Abad, should I say Kaddish for this mace who's not yet buried? The answer is, it depends on the Minhag HaMakom, depends on exactly, it's metaphysical, it's not halachic. Is there Toelis yet? Or is there not Toelis till after the Kfura? Minhag Eretz Yisrael is to say Kaddish. I've seen people do that, it's in the Gesher Chaim, and I've seen people do it le-maisa.
Would Rabbi Paschal say I'm in America?
What?
Would Rabbi ask him the same if someone asked him in America?
I think so. I think there's a meaning mostly in America also. One second. I just realized I might have written something backwards. Yes. I just realized I wrote this backwards. How come no one corrected me? Okay, that was a test. You all lose points. This is like the Taz against the Shach. Not the Shach against the Taz. We pass like the Taz. The Magen Avraham pass like the Taz. The Kriegar pass like the Taz. Which is, not that it comes up nowadays, but that if there's no Aninus at night, and the fellow can say Kiddush. And the one other thing is, 1 second. One or two other things. On Yom Tov Sheni, the discussion, the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Tes Zayin, where he says, if there's a Chevra Kadisha, if they hand him over to Chevra Kadisha, then he's Chayv in Mitzvot Yom Tov Sheni. Because on Yom Tov Sheni, it's only when they're Mamash Olsuk Kfura. If they hand him over to the Chevra Kadisha takes care of the Kfura. And so it's again on this Yom Tov, and then he says, because it's not covered on Mace to be Olsuk too much on Yom Tov. So we see that even though there's no, a Yom Tov is not Mafkiya, so it just makes it not a time of Isak HaMeis. But Yom Tov has a lot of power to make it not Isak HaMeis. Basically, whenever it's not Mamish Isak HaMeis, then there's no Aninas. So we'll just add one more, according to Pesachei Tshuva, plus Masar Lekatofim, right? That's the Gemara's phrase. You handed them over to the Chevra Kadisha, or we'll just say nowadays, Masar Lechevra Kadisha, once you give the guf over to Chevra Kadisha, so that's another reason why nowadays, usually people gave the guf to the Chevra Kadisha before Yom Tov Sheni. Although even if the guf is in the house, nowadays you could say, clearly, the agenda of the Achronim is to say, yeah, there's Aninus and Yom Tov Sheni, but only if it's a time of Tura. Not if you handed him over to the Chevra Kadisha and he's someplace else. Not if the Chevra Kadisha is closed and you have to wait for them to finish davening. Not if, you're not allowed to bury for some reason. Not if it's nighttime, and that's why nowadays we say, it's never a time of Tura and Yom Tov Sheni in our communities. Yes?
But in general, we don't say that just because the body is given over to Chevra Kadisha.
We don't, but we'll get to it in a moment. Okay, two more in Yadin. Number one is the big discussions, which really comes up a little more. If we'll mention now, how about after the burial? Then do you have to make up the mitzvah? We'll say that for the next if. One last thing I want you to look on the side of my page. I don't know where it is. I have something called Hagah. It has no name on it. Just called Hagah. If you have Tzuras Hadath, it's on page Kufayim Beis all the way to the bottom left. What does Hagah say? B'Maseches Smachos Isagam. It says Maseches Smachos, one of the Maseches Katanos, right? That's not really part of Shas, but it has a lot of the Chos of Avelos. Eino Ochel Kol Tzorcho Uvi Yerushalmi, but it's also called Yerushalmi. Isav Lo Ochel Tzorcho Lo Shoshu Kol Tzorcho. He shouldn't eat till he's full. Right? Basically, now he shouldn't eat at the table. He shouldn't eat and fill his belly. That's not what someone does if their father's lying dead in front of them. No, they just need a little slow strength to go through the day and do the funeral. Right? And do we pass in that way? It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Why is it not in the Shulchan Aruch? Because it's not in the Mishnah and the Bavli. So does that mean we pass in against this Yerushalmi because it's not in the Shulchan Aruch? Or maybe it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, but we pass in like it anyway. Unclear. But the Geshur Chaim paskins like it. He says, Eino Okol Kol Tzorcho ve'eino Shose Kol Tzorcho. So, adds the Yerushalmi, quoted here only by this Haggah, but the Geshur Chaim endorses it. Eino, so we should really follow this Lolinu, Eino Okel Kol Vishose Kol Tzorcho. I assume Eino Okel Vishose Kol Tzorcho doesn't mean he shouldn't drink until he's not thirsty anymore, water. I assume Shose Kol Tzorcho means to drink, maybe. Well, Shose, it's not wine. Not allowed to drink any wine. So Eino Shose Kol Tzorcho. I guess he could drink till he's not thirsty anymore. But he shouldn't drink, as much of the sweet Coke as he normally, as he wants. Especially nowadays. Nowadays, I don't know what in the old days. Everyone dehydrates at funerals nowadays in the summer. So we should encourage everyone to drink a lot of water if they're an Onan. Especially in hot times in the summer, because it could be otherwise you get into chashash or sakana. And if it's a really hot day, then nothing to do with Dini Aninas. She makes sure someone brings water bottles to the cemetery and gives them out to people, because otherwise you get into chashash sakana. It has happened. People have had to go to the hospital for funerals, especially in Eretz Yisrael, when everyone goes to the kever. Okay, let's go to Sif Beis, and then I'll fill in a couple more Pesachei Tshuvos from Sif Aleph. Sif Beis, Mishmeis Lomeis B'Shabbos, Yochav Matzei Shabbos V'Avdala. someone whose relative died on Shabbos should eat on Motzei Shabbos without Havdalah, because once Motzei Shabbos comes, then they're an Onein and they're not allowed to make Havdalah. Interestingly, we don't assume they should make Havdalah early, right? Even though there is a heter, b'shas achak, to make Havdalah while it's still Shabbos after Plag, the assumption is no, that's only a heter b'shas achak if you just want to be busy later. But Mechiyah is not really Chal until after Shabbos. And by after Shabbos, he's an Onein, he's Pater. Okay, v'lo yispalel, and he shouldn't daven Ma'ariv. The low but Boker go to Purim. They didn't bury at night in their days. Now the Inner Israel will be buried at night, once the Shabbos. But in their days they didn't. So he shouldn't daven do Havdalah, he shouldn't daven Ma'ariv, and he shouldn't daven Shachris. Well, Acher Kfuri is Baal Tfila Shachris, and after Kfuri should daven Shachris, if it's still the morning, lo Avers Mana. Aval Tfila Se'erev lo Yispalo Shekvar Avers Mana. Ah, what's the Chiddush here? The Chiddush here is, the Chiddush here is, that there's no tashlum, and normally if you miss one tefillah, you can be mashal the next tefillah, right? Let's say someone was sick and not feeling well or forgot and didn't daven ma'ariv. And everyone knows they daven shachris twice. So here, does he have to daven shachris twice? The answer is no. There's only tashlum if someone was chayav and was nenas or shogan. Someone was chayav and didn't do their chiyuv, even if it's not their fault, then they do tashlumin. But this fellow wasn't chayav, he was potter. When the Chazal pattered him from the mitzvos, when you're potter, there's no tashlum. And that's the rule. There's no tashlum when someone is potter. What about Havdalah? So here's the question is, Purim mitzvos, what about tashlum? So the answer is very clear. Ein sorech. Not tzorich. If there's no tzorich, you can't do it, because that's bracha latala. Right? Ein tashlumin. Because he was actually potter. There's no tashlumin for someone who's actually potter. There's only tashlumin for someone who's chayiv and had an excuse. It could be a good excuse like ones, it could be a bad excuse like shogeg. But tashlumin is for a chiyuv with an excuse. Someone who's potter has no tashlumin. So there's no tashlumin. Now, Agav, we discussed this in Morning Seder also, I think. Didn't we discuss this Taz and Ufidus HaKasef here?
Yeah.
Which is a total side point. What about someone who was Osek B'mitzvah and missed out on a tefillah? What about his case? Clearly someone's an onustam. What's an onustam? Onustam means he lost a diamond ring that's worth $5,000. And he was frantically looking at this diamond ring. He was afraid any moment someone could take it and get thrown in the garbage, etc. So that's an honest. He's like, certainly, Chayman feel he's just honest because what's he supposed to do, poor guy? Or if he got sick, that's an honest. But over here, it's not that he couldn't. It's that he decided to do something more important, like Osek B'tzarchei Tzibur or Mitzvos. What if he decided to do something more important? So says the Taz famously, he quotes the... he quotes the Drisha, and the Taz himself says the Taz, that's not a p'tur, that's just an onus, and therefore he's chayef to make it up. Says the Drisha, and the Shachlin Kudusei Kesef says, what are you talking about? Osek a mitzvah, patur a mitzvah. Osek mitzvah, patur a mitzvah, it's a p'tur gomer. And therefore there's no tashlumin. We paskin like the Drisha and the Shachlin Kudusei Kesef, that if an osek a mitzvah, such as sarchi tzibor, that's considered a mitzvah, an Osek B'mitzvah is potter for, I don't know, he had a meeting at the town planning board to get permits to build a shul. And it was a short winter day, and he had to wait there to be called upon any moment to give his testimony, and he missed the whole time of Mincha. Or he was arguing with them the whole time, and he missed the whole time of Mincha. Okay, then he's Osek Mitzvah, Potter, and Mitzvah, and he doesn't have to make it up because he was Potter. He was never Chayiv in the first place. We paskin like the Shach and the Drisha against the Taz. What does the Taz think? So, sorry. What we said in Lumbus in the Morning Seder is that the Taz might think that Osek Mitzvah is not really a Ptor Gomer, it's just a utensil of an Ones. Or you might say that maybe he would admit by Osek B'mitzvah, he just thinks Sorchit Tzibur is not a mitzvah gemura. Okay, so that's a side machlokas, which has nothing to do with us. What has to do with us? The big chiddush of the Dogma Ervavo, which the later Achronim endorse. The later Achronim endorse this Dagomer Vava, which is very important. Says the Dagomer Vava, he says, when do you say you're potter in the Don Tashlumen if you're a potter the whole time? Like this case in the Shulchan Aruch. He was potter the whole time of Maariv. And remember, even though you condemn Maariv earlier plague, that's not considered the real time. He was potter from when Shabbos ended till the morning, because it was Mason with the Lefana. If someone's potter the whole time, there's no Tashlumen. But what if the Mace died in the middle of the time, or the mitzvah happened in the middle of the time? Meaning, it's time Shacharis. You could have gotten Shacharis at 6. Right? The seeking this morning at a speedy minion was 6. could have gotten Shacharis at 6. And lo leino, his father died at 8. He was going to go to the 8:15 minion. His father died at 8, and he missed the whole Shacharis. He didn't bury him for a while. Then, he was Pater Gomer from 8 o'clock until the end of his Mount Tefillah. That was a Pater Gomer. For from 6 until 8, he didn't have a Pater. From 6 until 8, he just had an excuse. He was Chayav, but his excuse was he thought he would have time later on, and he didn't know his father would die. So that's, therefore, said the Mirvava, that case, there is Tashlumen. Meaning, let's say he buries his father in the afternoon, and it's time for Chat Mincha, he should have a Mincha twice. Because even though the second half of Shacharis is a Pater Gomer, the first half of Shacharis was a Chiyuv with a valid excuse. He had a great excuse. His excuse was he was going to go to 8:15 minyan and then got surprised by this tragic news. But nonetheless, the Chiyuv was Chal. The Chiyuv was Chal, there is Tashlumen, because he could have davened between 6 and 8. And he just didn't because he had a good excuse. That is Tashlumen. So that's very important. Halach l'maisa, if this comes up. In America, this usually doesn't come up. Why? Because it takes them 2 days to lay at the funeral, so it's already too late to the Tashlumen for that original tefillah. But in Eretz Yisrael, this could come up. This comes all the time. Someone's father dies at 8 o'clock tonight. And they bury him at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's the way they do things in Eretz Yisrael. So he's davened Shacharis after the funeral. It's still time for Shacharis. Then he has to daven another Maariv. Because even though from 8 o'clock and on he had a Pater, from 7:30 till 8, he could have done Maariv, he just didn't think there was a rush, and therefore the Chiyuv was Chal. Okay, so Ein Tashlumen, because he was Potter, if he was an Onen for the entire Zman Tefillah. And the same applies to Osek B'Mitzvah, by the way. Let's say all of a sudden someone, he's going to go to 7:45 Shacharis, and all of a sudden 7:45 is an emergency Osek B'Mitzvah to do. Right, he's an EMT. He's going to go to 7:45 Shacharis. He gets a page that says beep at 7:45, and he's mamish saving lives till the end of Zman Shacharis. Then he has to Tashlumen, even though from 7:45 and on, he had a Pater Gomer of Osek B'Mitzvah saving lives. But until 7:45, he was Chayav. He just didn't know there was a rush, so he's a good excuse. And therefore, he has to Tashlumen. We pass him like this dog Mer Vava. It really could come up L'maisa. Okay. the more interesting thing is the famous machlokas here between, by the way, this is the second lumdus. What did I say? I said this simon, everyone learning anything in Shas learns this simon. Why? For two lumduses. A, what's a mitzvah and what's an aveira? And B, what's the zman and what's the tashlumen? Where does that come up? By davening, we know the zman is the zman and the next davening is tashlumen. How about Havdalah? Let's say he was an onen all Sunday. Does he do Havdalah Monday? So, this is the famous machlokes, or even an onen Motzei Shabbos. Famous machlokes between the Maharam and the Rush. Says the Rush, Havdalah after Motzei Shabbos is Tashlumen. Since he was Potter, there's no Tashlumen. Says Maharam, no, it's the Zman till Tuesday. It's not Tashlumen. This is a lumdus machlokes. Is that the Zman is Motzei Shabbos and then there's Tashlumen? Or no, the Zman is till Tuesday. Obviously, the earlier the better, but it's the Iker Zman. If it's the Iker Zman, then after Tur, he has to do the mitzvah. If it's Tashlumen, he's Potter. So here we have Ein Tashlumen. So what do we say? In Tefillah, he is Potter. How about Havdalah? So this is a big machlokes. Says the Rush, if the Geder Tashlumen to do Havdalah later and he's Potter. Says the Maharam, it's the Geder Iker Zmano to do Havdalah till Tuesday. And he is Chayev. And we pass in like the Maharam that he is chayav. This question also comes up for a million other mitzvos that were discussed a little earlier in the Pesach Tshuva. I'll try to remember all of them. for example, what about Asher Yotzer? What if he goes to the bathroom, and then after the kavura, does he say Asher Yotzer? It depends. If you say the Zman is right if he goes to the bathroom and there's Tashlumin later, then he's much from Tashlumin. If you say no, the Zman is any time till the next time he goes to the bathroom, or has to go to the bathroom, right? That's the question. Is saying Asher Yotzer an hour later, if you don't have to go, is that the Iker Zman or Tashlumin? Same thing, Birkas HaShachar. Is saying Birkas HaShachar, so you say Birkas HaShachar later. Is that the Iker Zman is when he wakes up, and later in the day is Tashlumin, or the Iker Zman is all day? Right? So too for all of these. How about benching? He eats without benching, right? Let's say he's still full, haven't digested it yet, after the kfura. Do we say the Iker Zman is when he ate, and it's only Tashlumin later, so he's potter? Or do you say the Iker Zman is as long as he's full and he's chayav? All this is the exact same lumbus.
Is there an afkamina if you assume like Dagomir Rova? Then the moment you're chayav, so even if it's... you would still be chayav later, no?
No, because if you're assuming he went to the bathroom while he was an Oni, and he ate while he was an Oni. Right, according to Dagomir Rova, if he ate, and before he and waited 5 minutes to bench, then his father died.
Right.
Then clearly he's chayav. But we're not talking about he ate while he was an Oni. So this is all discussions in the Achronim. This is all the same one. What's the Iker Zman and what is the Tashlumin? Let's just mention a few of the discussions. so, for example, what about Asher Yotzer? So that was in the Pesach Tshuva, was it not? Yes, Pesach Tshuva of Katan Hey says, quotes the Nesivos, not in the Sefer Nesivos, to say Asher Yotzer, but the Chidon, the Birkei Yotzer, says not to say Asher Yotzer. So that is a machlokas. Pashtus, Safik Brachas Lahakel, and he should not say Asher Yotzer. So let's just mention a few of these in Yonim. Maybe we'll put it over here. What about Asher Yotzer? Machlokes, who do we say was between? Tina Sivos, not the Sefer Sivos, but Yaakov Lisa, and the Chida in the Sefer Birkei Yosef. So Pashas, one should not say it, because Suffolk Brachos is Lahaka. What about benching? That's the discussion in the also in Sukkot and Hay. And here the Chachmas Adam and the Nesivos both say that he should bench. And here I don't necessarily know that anyone disagrees. So what about when it comes to benching? So says the Nesivos. And who did I just quote? And the Chachmas Adam says he should still make the bracha, because it's not Tashlumin to bench an hour later. That's the Iker Zman, which I guess you understand that. The Iker Zman is to bench sometime while you're still digesting the food. Okay, maybe I just mention one other thing, which is Birkas HaShachar. What about Birkas HaShachar? Right? So the... there's some discussion someplace of Birkas HaShachar here. But the what? What'd you say? Yes, thank you. Pesach Tshuva Yud Zayin. There he quotes that. He should not say Birkas HaShachar to the Begeder Tashlumin, right? That's what he says in Sefkat Yud Zayin. Thank you very much. He says that's considered Begeder Begeder Tashlumin. He says here. He assumes the chova is when you wake up, and the rest is tashlumin. The Gesher Chaim says, no, it depends. He says the first three brachos are really all day long. That's not an Aleph. Shalosan. And that's all the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that also is an Aleph. So, soon Ayin Aleph. Sorry, so whatever. Birkas HaShachar. Yevarech Rak Gimel Rishonos. Which makes sense. The other ones are about getting up. Okay, Ivrim, Zokif, Kafufim. Right, the Gemara says, Be'ikardin, when you open your eyes and when you get out of bed, etc. And then the rest is only Tashlumin. But Shalosani, that doesn't happen in any time. So therefore, it's Be'ikardin Kalayom. Okay, all of these are very fascinating. One of them says, if you ever learn any of these sugyas, you come back and you can find more Rishonim and more, especially more Achronim, Sin Shin Mem Aleph, and you can find Nefkuminas for all the most important Chakiras.
Is this like a standard, like, does a rabbi tell his congregant at the funeral?
The truth is, from what I've seen, usually people are not asking the rabbi this question, and they're too distraught and distracted, etc. But the rabbi should, really. You know, you have to find the right time. You have to find the right time, obviously, not in the middle of the shura, etc. You know, but when the things calm down and everyone finished being knocking the oven on the way home from the cemetery, then the rabbi should tell him what he's supposed to do, what he's not supposed to do. Yeah, I've never been a pulpit rabbi, so I can only see what I've said. Maybe the pulpit rabbis do, just not when I'm looking. I once had, okay, this title comes up a little later, it's filling. But okay, we'll come back to that. Anyway, let me just see if there's anything else I wanted to fill in Sivkatan. Bays, and how far do we say is the Geder Iker's Mano? So we say, the Shach points out, Chayav Ad until Tuesday. That's all considered the Iker's Mano of Abdullah. Big Kiddush. It's not that it's Tashlumin to do Abdullah until Tuesday. The Iker's Mano is to do Abdullah through Tuesday. Obviously, it's reason why Dima Lamed's supposed to do it earlier, and you want to be able to eat. Meaning, if someone's not an owner, it's obviously they do it earlier. But really, the Iker Zman is till Tuesday. Big Chiddush. Okay, there's a whole discussion here about Bris Mila. What if the Onain has a son to give a Bris Mila? And basically, if you put together what it says in the Taz and what it says in the Pesach Tshuva, Sivkat and Chaf, the basic principle is that if the Onain has a son to give a Bris Mila, if they can do the funeral really early in the morning before Shacharis, they should do the funeral first. And then the father will say brachas at the milah. But if they're not going to do the funeral till later, they should not delay for the father. They should do the milah even if the father can't say the brachos. Because you're not supposed to delay a bris milah. However, if the father's the moel, then obviously they should wait because he's going to do the mitzvah. And he shouldn't do the mitzvah of milah until afterwards. Okay, that's some side points, and one important thing in Pesach Tshuva, you test, and with them we'll finish this if. This is very important. The Panim Iro says, an Onain who didn't know the halacha. This happens all the time. No one knows these halachas. It's also people don't like talking about them too much, because it's a bad luck, as it were. But you should know, among the Hasidim, you don't learn halachas avelos. No one learns halachas avelos. Because, it's a bad simon to learn halachas avelos. Even someone who learns Kol Torah Kula doesn't learn halachas avelos. But a lot of people know that. What if someone didn't know the halacha and said Abdullah? Do they have to see another Abdullah after the burial or not? And this is a more klali question. If someone did a mitzvah while they're an onain, did the eved, do they have to do it again or not? The answer is, did the eved, we say safek, we rely on Rashi, and they don't have to do it again. After all, Rashi said they're allowed to. Right, so this is very important that b'di'eved they don't have to do the mitzvah again because we rely on Rashi, and that's what he quotes from from the Panim Iros. Okay, there's some other interesting machlokos here about mitzvos, which I'll just point out from some of the other achronim. For example, what about Birkas Torah? What do you think? If the mace died at night, and he buries him at 4 p.m. Should he say Birkas HaTorah or not? Is it Tashlumin to say Birkas HaTorah at 4 p.m., or the Iker's Man is all day? The Iker's Man is all day. Yeah, so you should say Birkas HaTorah. It's a machlokas, but that seems to be the minig. That's what the Baruch paskins. Another very interesting thing he paskins is, what if he missed Man Krishna? You should know, there's no Tashlumin for Krishna, so it's not an issue, right? He mace died at night, or whatever, and if his Man Krishna ended, so there's no point saying Krishna. Because, there's a minig to anyway, but there's no halacha to say Krishna. Because he can't do it. But interestingly, there's a big machlokas achronim. How about the third paragraph? Lamantiskos yom tzeis kamir sain kol yimechayach. Remember, 70 years old. Kol yimechayach hayam kol yimechayularos halelos. Is big lumdus. Is the mitzvah of zakiris that the Rav discussed in the Yartzei Shir? Is mitzvah Sefiras Mitzrayim part of mitzvah Kriya Shema, so it's only yotzei in the first 3 hours? Or do we just say it with Kriya Shema, but it's a mitzvah of yamin all day? That's a machlokes. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the Pnei Baruch paskins that it's a machlokes, but maybe if he derives a third paragraph all day long. Therefore, let's say a person missed Kriya Shema because they're owning the davening mincha, they should make sure to say the second paragraph, the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, because maybe they're chayav all day long daraisin zechiras tehias mitzrayim. That's also a good thing to know. Even though most people would just say the whole Shema, because it's nice to remember the things that Shema every day, even if it's not a mitzvah. That's what the Mechaber says. Women should say Shema even though they're not chayav, not tachat hakiyum, but just because it's important to remember the basic facts of life all day, which are Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and etc. Gimel. Okay. Makam shenagu. This is based on the Gemara of Masra L'Katofim. Mok Shenogu K'Shekatofim Yuchadim L'Hotzi HaMeis. In a place where the minig is, there are special people who carry the mace. That's what we call a Chevra Kadisha, right? There's special people whose job is to carry the mace. Well, Akshen is Asko HaKrovim Tzorcha K'fur Yim Shavru Lahem. And after the Krovim finish dealing with the K'fur, they hand him over to the Chevra Kadisha of Heim Yikru, and they bury him. Misha Masru Lahem Mutar Ma'Krovim Basar V'Yayin Afilu Kodim Shitzur Me'Abai Shashovin Mutal Lahem. Ah!
He says, this is not called mutual labor. They hand them over to the Chevra Kadisha. They have finished their job. They have been yotzei their job, lemahadrin. They did their responsibility. Now it's not mutual labor anymore. And therefore, says the Mechaber, it's not the Mechaber, it's the Gemara. Once they hand them over to the Katafim, I mean, it's a Yerushalmi Gemara. Once they hand them over to the Katafim, then they are no longer mutal funim, not an onain. They do mitzvos, they can eat meat, they can drink wine, etc. And the Shach points out, even though they're not a velum yet, because you're not a velum until after the burial, still the aninos lifts. Question is, how do we apply this nowadays? So this is a big machlokes, which is quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, Sivkat and Chaf Aleph, between the Nod of Yehuda and the Chachmas Adam, and even nowadays a bit of a machlokes, although not really the Maisa. What's the Metzias we're talking about here in this Masro Lekatofen? Right? There are two different ways of interpreting this. You could say that this is talking about, this Yerushalmi, Masro Lekatofen. You could say it's talking about our Chevra Kadisha. Once you hand the body over to the Chevra Kadisha, now you've done your job. Right? Assuming that you pay the Chevra Kadisha or arrange to pay the Chevra Kadisha, right? You've done your job and now it's not mutal funav anymore. So the aninus lifts. In which case, nowadays, once you hand the body over to the Chevra Kadisha and you make the arrangements with the Chevra Kadisha, I assume they take the body but they refuse to bury him because they haven't paid them yet, and then, then you make arrangements with the Chevra Kadisha, then they should start davening and doing all the mitzvahs again. That's the Sakhla Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says, once you hand over the Chevra Kadisha, then you start doing mitzvahs. And there's some according like the Yesher Chaim who think theoretically he's really right. However, the Minigol is not like that. It's like the Nod Yehuda. Says the Nod Yehuda here, what's the case here? Is what about Masro Lekatofim? Not an Omei. But says the Nod Yehuda, no! That was talking about when you handed over the Katofim, and then we're done! And then they buried him without you. There are some places in the old days when the relatives would not go to the cemetery. The relatives would hand him over to the Katofim. The Katofim would go bury him. Maybe there are places where the cemetery was not accessible or wasn't safe for regular people to go or whatever the reason was. Maybe the government didn't let him. Who knows? Then they're taka done. Right? If you put someone, your relative, on a plane to Eretz Yisrael, then you have to even know them anymore. You did your job. But if the relatives are going to the funeral in the cemetery with the Chevra Kadisha, then they're not done yet. It's still mutal funav. So that's the question. Do you make an okimta in this mechaber? Chachmas Adam says, no okimta in the mechaber. Once the body goes to the Chevra Kadisha, even if it's still in your house, kolshkin, if they took a car and brought the body to their office, then there's no more aninus. No, he says, no, that means if you send it to the Chevra Kadisha and you withdraw, there's no aninus. But nowadays, when everyone gives the body to the Chevra Kadisha and they still go to the funeral and they still go to the burial, of course it's all mutal funav. They're still involved. They just have helpers. So this is the fundamental machlokas. What about Masro Lekatofim? Veholech imahem. You're going, like nowadays, you're going to the funeral and you're going to the cemetery. You walk with the Chevra Kadisha the whole way. So this is a big machlokas, says the Chachmas Adam.
that he is not an Onan, says the Nod Yehuda that he is an Onan. The Minhag Olam is like the Nod Yehuda, otherwise we have no Aninos nowadays. Minhag Olam like the Nod Yehuda, even though there's some who question this, strong Minhag Olam like the Nod Yehuda, even if someone handed over the body to Chevra Kadisha, if they are still staying involved by planning the funeral and going to the funeral and going to the burial, participating in the burial, then and the Levaya, then they're still Mutal Lefana, just Mutal Lefana with helpers, and they're still an Onan. That's the Minhag nowadays, like the Nod Yehuda against the Chachmas Adam. Even though the Gesher HaChayim really leans towards the Chachmas Adam, the Minhag is like the Nod Yehuda. Now that says the Ramah, Makam Shinosana makes me ear to ear. What about if they transport? Yeah.
What if like some of their relatives go and send Dokah? So then the Minhag Yerushalayim and some relatives don't go.
No, they all go to the Levaya, they just don't go to the Kfura. But they still go to the Levaya.
From that point on, whoever's not going to go to the Kfura is no longer known.
Correct.
Why
correct.
Does some not go to the Kfura?
Minhag Yerushalayim is that when a man is buried, his descendants do not go to the Kfura. Minhag Yerushalayim has a lot of things out besod that we're not familiar with from Chutz La'aretz, and they're all in order to prevent the Ruchin and Shaden Velilin that come from the Zera Shalom Mako Mitzvah, from following the bodies of the graves. They're Machri, they do all kinds of rituals in order to Mavriach, the Ruchos Rose, the Shid. And their machr is the kol yotzei chalotzel lo yetzu achra of lib beis hakvaros. Their machr is a very serious chayram that any yotzei chalotzel cannot follow him to the cemetery. And as a side effect of that, al piso nihud, the kids also can't go to the cemetery because then it wouldn't be a serious achraza of kol yotzei chalotzel lo yetzu achra lo yetzu beis hakvaros. Okay, they have all kinds of interesting minhagim in Yerushalayim, which includes other parts of Israel which follow him in Yerushalayim as well. But that's not relevant here because they still go to the Hespedim. They just don't go to the basic forest. And you're right. Then they would be stop being an Onan half hour before the other relatives. Correct. That's for sure. Right. Let's say again, if someone follows Minhag Yerushalayim, of course, there's modified Minhag Yerushalayim for Americans, which is the Minhag in Eretz Chaim Beit Shemesh, the American cemetery. Modified Minhag Yerushalayim for Americans that their machris. Call Yotze Chalatza Lo Yetzu Achra Lo Beis HaKvaros, and they tell the kids, quick, go before the mace to the Beis HaKvaros, so that you don't violate the Achraza Lo Yetzu Achra. That's modified Minhag Yerushalayim for Americans, but real Minhag Yerushalayim of real Israelis, even Olim, who have, you know, become more real Israeli. I was once, I was an Atlevite, but whatever, I saw him coming back, of a friend of the family who made Aliyah and became more Israeli. And the whole family went to the Beis HaKvaros, and the son went home after the Hespedim. It was almost Shabbos, that's why he went home first. Otherwise, he would have just waited for them to come back. And then, you're right, he would stop being an Onan, and the son would stop being an Onan, but the brother would keep being an Onan until the Kfura, correct. Okay, so, says the Ramah, Makom Shenosen makes me ear to ear, Makom Karvu Havik Ilu Muta Lefanav. A place where they transport the mace from city to city, like, for example, nowadays, to Eretz Yisrael, if it's close, then it's like mutal fun of the whole time. So, but if it's far, like 2 days or more, then it's mafkiya the mutal fun until they get there. Here's an interesting question. Someone's accompanying the mace on a journey. Of course, nowadays, we have no place that's more than 2 days' journey, I think. Even from Australia, I think they make it in less than 2 days. But if someone's accompanying the mace, then how? Remember, they can go for a 3 month journey with the mace there in Israel if they wanted to, if they were real Moser Nefesh. So, what's the din? So, Ramah says something very logical. It's not found in the Gemara, it's a logical akra. If it's a short journey, then it's still Mutal Lefanav. It's just like a short break. Like, what if the guy's an hour off? But if it's a long journey, that's not Mutal Lefanav. He's on a journey. He's not driving the donkey. He's sitting on a ship. So what do you mean? For 3 months it's Mutal Lefanav? Now it's such a long break that it's Mafkiya the Mutal Lefanav. So that's a week paskin. If it's a long break, it's Mafkiya the Mutal Lefanav. But nowadays everything's a short break. Even if you go from America to Israel, you do it in 12 hours. And therefore we say even if the guy's accompanying the body on the plane, or certainly in the car, etc., then he's still an Onan. There's some discussion in modern day poskim. What about a plane where the mace is on the bottom and you're on the top? is that called Mutal Lefanav? Because after all, you can't even get to the cargo of a plane, right? You're not allowed access to the cargo of the plane. But the minhag is that no, any journey less than 2 days, such as a plane ride, even though you're in a different part of the plane than the mace, nonetheless, since it's only a short break of an 11-hour plane ride, therefore he's still an onan on the plane, and he doesn't do mitzvahs and daven on the plane.
Is that even according to the nitziv? You would agree that, like, this is shaykh to that machlokas?
No. This is, the nitziv is where you're not going to the funeral. Here the guy's accompanying the mace to the body of the funeral. Similarly, he's mufkas, he's not going at all. Here, he's going. He just has a break because of transportation. So the answer is all our breaks nowadays are short breaks. I mean, unless someone obviously takes a boat there, I don't know why anyone would do that, right? Or travels on foot someplace, you know, through a desert. But now, so nowadays, the minig is even on the plane, the guy is still considered mutal lefanav. Oh, what's mutal lefanav? The mace in the cargo hold? No, since it's a short break, it's still considered a ritzifus of mutal lefanav. Sif dal. Misha mace bit fisa. Someone who dies in jail, like the Mar Rebbe Rutenberg famous story, right? And the government doesn't let you bury him. Nowadays, the governments are usually nicer. But it could happen nowadays, though, Elena, with a prisoner of war or something, right? Maybe you get intelligence information that Lo Elena, the relative, died, but they're not letting him bury him. Or you had this case once where, you know, they killed someone and took the bodies to Gaza or something, you know he was dead. But you're not getting the body, so therefore there's not a ninos, because it's not mutal lefanav if there's no access to the body. V'gam avelus v'cholim, there's also no avelus, we'll learn later when avelus is chal, either at the burial or when you give up from burying. Therefore, there's no avelus and no aninos, they're just in between. V'chenim krovei makes betfisa, ein aninos cholim. Likewise, the relatives are in jail, since they can't be osek, that's called not mutal lefanav. Since they can't be osek, that's not mutal lefanav. Again, this is not machlokes between your Tom and the Rush. That was if you're in the next town, you could be Osek, just someone else is. Here, you can't be Osek. And that's what Rav Paul Shapiro says. Being 6,000 miles away is like being in jail. You can't be Osek. Or, likewise, someone who was killed in tragic circumstances, then you don't know his whereabouts, in the river, etc., and they didn't give up on the body. That not the Krogmar looking for the body. They're sitting home waiting for the police to call them someday and say they found the body. They're not an aninos because there's no body. It's not mutal lefanav. They can't do anything. They're also not avelus. And they only count the shiva and start avelus when they give up. So here we have cases where it's not mutal lefanav. What cases are called not mutal lefanav? Three cases here. Either mace bitfisa, or the karov is bitfisa, or it was nerag, and you don't know where he is, right? Nerag baderech, meaning not nowadays baderech. Baderech, like, he went on a journey, he never showed up. Someone said, oh, I saw him get killed. But you haven't found the body, all lo aleinu. On those cases, no aninas, because it's not mutal lefanav if there's no asek of kvura, whether because you don't know where the body is, or because they won't let you bury, or because you are not available because you are in jail. Shachir discusses that there's a difference between if they want money to bury him or not. Okay, we're not going to get into those distinctions now. The Pesachei Tshuva discusses a fascinating case. There were places where the government was afraid they would bury live people. Like their medicine wasn't so good, they were afraid they would bury someone and still be alive, so they decreed a waiting period of 48 hours. Okay, there's a big historical Indian, Moses Mendelssohn involved, etc. We're not going to get into the stories. The whole question is, if the government will let you bury for 48 hours, are you an onan or not? And here the answer was, and likewise discussion at the end of this, towns where they didn't allow funerals on Friday afternoon, is the person onan or not? And the answer was, even though they can't bury, since they can be osek b'tzarchei kfura, they're still an onan. After all, they can still get shrouds and get a coffin and buy a burial plot. So that's a very important. But if they can't bury, but can prepare for burial, right? Meaning the body's available and no one's in jail. They just can't bury now. Let's say the grave diggers are in strike. They can't bury now. But they can make all the arrangements. Then he is an onan. Okay, that's a very important yisod as well. Okay, sif hey. Okay, until the burial, meaning during the time of aninos, the laws of avelus do not kick in. There's no chiyuv of taking off shoes. Onanim wear shoes. There's no chiyuv of covering your face, which we don't do nowadays anyway, or turning over your bed, which we don't do nowadays anyway. What's the only usher? To sit or sleep on a bed. You're supposed to sit or sleep on the floor when someone's an onein, because that's how someone feels when they're tsar for their relative who dies. For some reason, I've seen everyone sit on chairs nowadays when they are an onein. Maybe it's only a bed that's usher and a chair is mutter. Wherever I've been, I've always seen only them sit on chairs. So maybe they assume that it's only the bed that's usher. Okay, what does he say here? Says the Pnei Baruch, maybe this is the reason, says Yesh Nogin L'Hakol Bazeh. Okay, apparently the meaning nowadays is to be Mekel, says the Pnei Baruch, page 20, that he says you're supposed to sit on the floor, but the meaning is L'Hakol. I think the meaning is nowadays that the Onanim, even though it says in Maseches Machos, not that way, apparently the meaning nowadays the Onanim are Mekel on this. Only, you know, some, you know, might be good to be machmer, but okay, can't force people to be machmer on this. Okay, now v'koshkin also tashrish amita. That's very clear in many sugyas. There's an issur of tashrish amita because that's kalos rosh. Now here's the tremendous machlokas rishonim between the Rambam versus the Ramban and the Smak. I mean, there's on both sides. Also, like the Rambam, do the isurim of avelus apply to an onin? Right? Do isure avelus apply to an omen? So we would think not. There's no Atiyus Arosh, no Kfis Amita, there's no Chalitzas Minil, we would think not. And that is the opinion of the Rambam. And Tosos seems to hold the same thing. So, says the Rambam and Tosos, no. However, the Ramban and the Smak, and you could add many, say yes. The Rabban and the Smak say yes. What about these three things? Except for Chalitzas Minal, Atifas Harosh, and Kfiyas Hamita. Why except for these three things? We don't have time for it now. But the standard I'm going to explain, because these three things would distract him from the Isaka mace. If he doesn't have shoes, how is he going to walk to take care of the mace? If he covers his face, how's he gonna like deal with all the people he needs to deal with for her funeral? And if he has to turn over his beds, he's gonna be too busy to take care of the mace. The Rav viewed it a little more lumdish, said no, Ativs Arosh and Kfiyas Amita are not Isur Avelos, they're Kiyume Avelos. He's talking from Kiyume, because that's Mitzvah Seh, but he's still Chayav in Isurim, although even he admits shoes as an Isur, and that's a heter in order to walk. Lemaisa, how do we paskin? Says the Ramah. He's allowed to leave his house to the Asa, but he's usher all the Isra Velos. This is a machlokis, even though people don't know this, and a lot of people don't know this. I look at the machlokis in Sfarad and Ashkenazim. Pesach Tshuva quotes the Chassam Sofer and wants to say the Machaber agrees with Rambam, but that's not assumed by the Sfaradim. Here is Sfaradim hold like the Rambam, which is Pshat of the Machaber, even though not everyone agrees. That there's no Isur Avelus. However, Ashkenazim assume Isur Avelus apply to an Onei. People don't know this. The Onei can't shower. And the Onei can't shave. And all these things says, oh, let me shower and shave and put on nice clothing for the funeral. Okay, I mean, maybe he has to put on nice clothing. So not be designing a mace, but if necessary. But he cannot shower, he cannot shave, he cannot do any of the things. We pass that all these surveillance kick in right away. Not only that, but I'm not going to quote Makoros. Now, and likewise, says the Gilgamesh Rasha, he's also to learn Torah. And and says Rabbi Kiva Eger, quoting the Ramban, something very important. Says the Ashkenazim, not only is an Onein Aser B'Isure Avelos, and this will be the last thing we'll mention, says Rabbi Kiva Eger here, says even when he's not an Onein, let's say he's between Aninus and Avelos, right? Nimshul HaKasof, he gave him to the Chavir Kaddish and he's not following them. He's not an Avel yet, perhaps, because the base is not buried. we'll get to when Avelus is chal, not an oni, but even between Aninus and Avelus, let's say he's between Aninus and Avelus, he's still usher b'isurei Avelus. And we'll see some more examples of this. Even between it, he's still usher b'isurei Avelus. So let's say Nimshar l'katofim. Nimshar l'katofim, they give him over the katofim, and they're watching the katofim carry him to the cemetery for half an hour. Right? They don't go home. They're watching the katofim. They're not an oni anymore to Nimshar l'katofim. They're not following them. But they're not an ogel yet because not buried, and they're still watching to see when he's buried. In between, they still have Yisurei Avelus. Why? It makes sense. If an ogel has Yisurei Avelus and an oni has Yisurei Avelus, in between, he says the common denominator of both, and there's still a story of Avelus. So we Ashkenazim Paskin, from the time of death, or knowing of the death, through Aninus, if there's some weird period between Aninus and Avelus in rare cases, still a story of Avelus apply. A lot of people don't know this, but that is clear Minhag Ashkenaz, and we should be machmir on that. Okay, last sif, Hamashamas are Mesa Fuel Shino Meso, Pokemon Kirish and Commits Mosra Torah, Yushnaiz and Hashamas are Kore. This is really more Simon Ayan Aleph. This is just regular Osig Mitzvah upon a mitzvah, nothing to do with Onane. Osig Mitzvah, a stranger who's Osig Mitzvah, like being Shomer Mace or being digging a kever or anything like that, is Pokemon Kriyashma, but that's only if they need his effort. If there are two guys, you don't need two Shomer, so one is Shomer, the other says Kriyashma, and then the other says Kriyashma, and the first one is Shomer. Okay, this is very, very important. Halacha Maisa, Simin Shimon Aleph, Simin Shimon Beis, and Shimon Gimel, I will leave to whatever you prepared in Seder time. And that was also on the schedule for today. And next year, we'll pick up from Simon Shin Dalet Mem, or Shin Mem Dalet, depending on how superstitious you are. So again, Shin Mem Beis, Shin Mem Gimel, we won't go over in Shir, just because we want to keep to our Luach Zmanim. And again, I will remind you, I apologize for changing the schedule, but I will be in America on Sunday, so we're going to prepone Sunday Shir to Thursday. I'll announce the location. What?
Does the Rav?
So what do you think?
Oh, just about probably talking about the Rav in general.
Someone should wake up Chesky. Oh, I shouldn't have said that on this. Sorry. Sorry. Could you stop it and then erase the last few seconds?
Gotcha. Thanks.
You have a good excuse.